Deuteronomy chapter 4, we have, if you follow the Torah, the nations will see, they'll understand what a great God you serve. So Torah was always to bless the nations, but now we actually have them being able to be grafted into Israel. Let's look at Isaiah 56. Okay, this is in the Tanakh. Isaiah is the, a lot of people would say, the most important prophetic book, okay? And it's certainly one of the most messianic ones. Gives us a clear view of Messiah. So, Isaiah 56, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing evil. Now listen to this closely. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. This is so beautiful, right? The eunuchs are saying, you know what, nobody's going to follow after me, right? I can't have a son, can't have a daughter. But the Lord said, I'm going to do something even better for you than that, okay? I'm going to give you a monument and a name in my very house. Continuing on at Isaiah 56, 6. And the foreigners, right, the non-Jews, who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, the temple. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. So the tabernacle is going to be opened up, the temple is going to be opened up to all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. So in Messiah, we have not only a better priesthood, we have not only a better sacrifice, we have not only a better tabernacle, but we have a better way in for the Gentiles as well. And that's why at Tikvat Ami, we welcome in Jews and non-Jews with equal joy because I feel like that's following in the footsteps of Messiah. And of course, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, from Messiah, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Some of the same kind of issues and language that we saw in Isaiah 56. How is Isaiah 56 fulfilled in Messiah? Okay, so Ephesians 2:13 is where I am now. Okay. Okay, that's fine. And you don't have to look up all these if you want to just listen, that's fine. But so
right after that.
Nope. Yeah, it's a short book. Okay, Galatians 2:13. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off, the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. by abolishing the Torah of the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace. So here we see as well a little change in the Torah, right? And that is that that which used to be strictly Jewish domain is now going to be opened up more to the nations through the Messiah. So does Torah change? Look, Torah has always changed. The Torah has changed within itself. Let me give you an example. In Exodus, the Passover lamb was sacrificed where? In your homes. But God says, when you enter the land that I'm going to give you, it can only be done in the place that I choose, in Jerusalem, right? So, well, at first in...
outside the camp.
Well, that's not the Passover lamb. That's the red heifer. But the... where was the tabernacle set up?
Shiloh.
Thank you.
Shiloh.
Right. So, Shiloh and then Jerusalem. So, the Torah has always changed certain stipulations based on circumstance, right? Sacrifice the lamb each in your households, and then wait, you can only do it in Jerusalem because it's going to be a new circumstance. And we'll see here later on when he talks about divorce. Moses gave you the right to divorce because of the hardness of your heart, but really that's not really the true Torah, okay? The true Torah is that Adam and Eve were created to form a unity. God brought them together. Don't separate what God brings together. And so stipulations change, but the heart of God, righteousness, doesn't change. What's righteous, what isn't righteous, never changes. But circumstances change. Certainly, the Messianic era through Yeshua is going to initiate some changes. And I'm going to tell you something. It's fewer changes than Orthodox Judaism professes, okay? If you look at Orthodox Judaism today, it is a major change from Moses in the Torah, less so than what we have through Yeshua. Because why? They have no temple at all. We have a heavenly tabernacle. They have no tabernacle at all. We have the sacrifice of Yeshua. They have no sacrifice at all. We have a priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. They still maintain the priesthood in a way, right? If you have a priest, somebody of the tribe of Levi in your congregation, and you're calling people up to read from the Torah or to give the blessings, that priest has to be called up first out of honor of their... But they don't function as a priesthood. They don't function in the realm of atonement, which was really the job of the priesthood. So drastic change between Torah and Orthodox Judaism. And we also have some changes, but the heart of Torah, the heart of it remains the same for us. Okay, questions or comments?
What about the comment, Josh, you want to comment about setting the cornerstone for the third temple that the Jews already prepared for them. They've got the priesthood, they've got the red heifer lined up.
Yeah.
And all that. Is that part of the Orthodox preparing for the temple for his return?
Well, look, the third temple, first of all, there are a lot of Orthodox Jews that are not in favor of building the third temple. Okay, they want to wait for the Messiah. Okay, number one. Number two, if you look at some of the rabbinic writings, like if you look at Maimonides, Maimonides is one of the greatest rabbi of the Middle Ages. Okay, from I forget the 9th or 10th century, something like that. But Maimonides said, look, sacrifices were just given during the time because Israel came out of Egypt and they were surrounded by people sacrificing animals. The Lord didn't really want it, but he gave it to them for a time so that they would at least do it in a righteous way. If they're going to sacrifice animals, let them at least do it in a righteous way. We disagree with that. We understand the need for blood atonement. I think the Torah makes that clear. But Orthodox Judaism is not against necessarily growing in some respects, and you know, they don't. The Third Temple is a complicated subject. I think it's a complicated subject. Let's get into that some other time. It's a fascinating subject. Yeah.
We'll do a drosh.
Yeah. Okay, so let's continue on. Verse 21. You have heard it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Rakah, shall be subject to the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be subject to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you are present... Well, let's just stop there. Verses 21 and 22. Questions, comments? Okay.
Why are you in 21?
What?
Matthew chapter 5.
Oh, Matthew 5, 21 and 22. That's okay. Slow me down all the time. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. Okay. What is he doing here? First of all, what he's doing here, we need to keep in mind a couple things. You have heard it said, I tell you. We're going to see that, right, a couple times. You have heard it said, such and so, I say to you, such and so. He's not contradicting the former, okay? In saying don't get angry, he's obviously not contradicting don't murder. He's not contradicting what the Torah says. He's saying the fullness of the Torah is to not even get angry, okay? The fullness, to bring the Torah to fulfillment. The Torah is not saying don't just murder. It's not just giving you an outward thing to avoid. It wants to get at a heart issue. Okay? And now that we have a new covenant, which promises the Torah being written on our heart, now that we have a new covenant that is imbued with power from on high to change hearts and to change lives, he's able to make this a more personal, inner, spiritual issue. And rather than just saying, don't murder, I'm saying to you, let's adjust your whole attitude here. Let's adjust the whole attitude. Doesn't mean we never get angry. Yeshua himself sometimes got angry. Okay, again, this is probably hyperbole, purposeful overstatement to make a point.
Yeshua got angry for the hardness of their hearts.
Mm-hmm, right.
This is about heart.
Exactly. Let's look at Galatians 5. Okay, if you want to turn there, great. If you want to just listen, that's fine as well. I'm going to start at verse 16, Galatians 5, 16. Okay. But I say, Galatians 5, 16 and following, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, what does this mean? Remember, the law does not have power. The Torah, as given by Moses, did not have power. Okay? but now you're led by the Spirit. So you're not worried about the curses and the blessings. You are led by the Spirit. And Paul will tell us in Romans that we serve, not in the old way of the written code, but in the Spirit. So you have the Spirit to help you be Torah observant. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There we have it again, not getting into the kingdom of God. Just like in Matthew 5:19. I'm sorry, 5:20. Okay, and your righteousness has to exceed scribes and Pharisees, or you won't get into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are synonymous. We can talk about, well, Matthew alone uses kingdom of heaven, sometimes kingdom of God, but usually kingdom of heaven. And his being the most Jewish of the Gospels, as is often described, heaven is just a way for him to avoid using the name of God. That's what a lot of the scholars say. But anyway, it's synonymous. You're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven unless your righteousness exceeds scribes and Pharisees. And what does this say? You're not, Galatians 5 says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God if you are full of these things. Galatians 5 is telling us the same thing as Matthew 5. Don't get angry, okay? Don't get angry, he says in 5:22, okay? In 5:28, don't lust, okay? Matthew 5:27, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it to you. You have heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart, okay? Galatians 5 is saying, don't walk in these things. Don't walk in lust. Don't walk in anger. Don't walk in division. Okay? Because, why? Because you are led by the Spirit. 5:18, you are led by the Spirit. Okay? Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What does that mean? That means against such things you're Torah observant. Okay? You are not going against the Torah. If you are walking in love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. So the Spirit within you is going to create within you the fullness of Torah. It's going to create within you Torah observance. Okay, and those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So here's what I'm going to do to close up. I'm going to read this portion up through, starting at Matthew 5:21. Through 5:30, and wrap it up real quick, ask for questions and comments, and then next week we need to talk about Gehenna, okay? What does he mean by Gehenna, or your translation may say hell, okay? Does he really teach an eternal hell that goes on for eternity, a place of conscious suffering, or is that an incorrect understanding, or does it not really clarify it one way or the other? But we'll start there and then move on. But for now, let's start at 5:21. And as I read this, I want you to understand Galatians 5 as I read this, right? And Jeremiah 31, the Torah in their hearts. Okay, so this inwardness of the Torah and this walking according to the Spirit, the new covenant that comes with power to change not just your outward action, but your inner thought life and your inner motivations. Okay, Matthew 5:21. You've heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. I tell you now that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be subject to the council. Raka was, an insult. You empty head, you blockhead. And whoever says, you fool, shall be subject to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering upon the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent while you are with him on the way. Otherwise, your opponent may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the assistant, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out of there until you have paid back the last penny. Okay, this is not talking about purgatory or heaven or hell or anything here. This is just talking about the legal system back then, you know, debtor's prison, that you are in debtor's prison until you paid back the last penny. So you hoped that somebody would come along and raise the money for your funds to get out. But he's saying, look, be people of peace. Right? Let's get the divisions out of here. Let's get the anger out of here. Let's get the hatred out of here. Be people of peace. And remember in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Okay, continuing with 5:27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. I tell you that everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. Okay, this is obvious hyperbole. Okay, this is exaggeration, not to be untrue, but exaggeration to make a point. Don't go gouging your eye out, obviously. But stop looking at what's causing you to sin, or take sin seriously enough that you would rather give up a body part than to sin. Okay, so he's just saying, take sin seriously. You need to avoid sin at all costs. It is better for you that one part of your body should be destroyed than that your whole body be thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you that one part of your body should be destroyed than that your whole body go in to Gehenna. Okay? And so we'll stop there. And I just want to encourage you that you are, if you have received Yeshua as your Messiah, he has fulfilled Jeremiah 31, the call for a new covenant, a better covenant that's written on our hearts and not just written on ink. Okay? He has fulfilled Psalm 110 that promises a new priesthood in the order of Melchizedek, a priesthood of the forgiveness of sins. If you have received Yeshua as your Messiah, then you are an inheritor of the Torah, the new covenant. That is inward, that produces good fruit. Will we slip up and fall? Of course, we all slip up and fall. But at the same time, your life needs to be changed through the work of the Messiah, through the work of this new priesthood, through the work of the Spirit within you, so that the anger is gone. Okay, it crops up. Yes, it crops up, but we don't live in that anger, and we don't live in that lust. But we've been cleaned, and we've been made new in Messiah. Any closing comments or questions? No.